Barbara Bernstein speaks with Earth scientist David Hughes about the reasons he doubts the long-term viability of shale oil as well as gas, and what it means that an oil company executive is drawing similar conclusions. At 11, it's First Voices Radio. We hear an encore interview of Robbie Robertson, lead guitarist and primary songwriter of the legendary musical group The Band. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. For a third way to listen to all your favorite KBOO programming, download our mobile app today.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Development Committee will meet the first Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO is hiring. We're currently accepting applications for our Volunteer and Outreach Coordinator position. We're looking for someone with experience in volunteer management and outreach to diverse communities and preferably has experience with nonprofits. This is a full-time position. For the full job description and instructions on how to apply, see the job listing on our website at kboo.fm/employment. Applications are due Saturday, March 22nd by 5 p.m. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer.
Good morning. Today is March 2nd, 2020, and you're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM in Hood River, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. I am Cecil Prescott, and I am one of your co-hosts for this program. And I'm so grateful that you are joining us. If you are listening live, I invite you to write down our phone number to call in, not right now, but a little while later. And our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. And that will be the number you may call to join and share your wisdom or ask your questions or anything like that. Now, you know, usually I turn on my computer and go to a certain search engine, and they often highlight something about the day. So if it's some famous or someone not so famous birthday or an invention, they are usually have some artistic piece to celebrate it. So of course I just assume, since everyone know that March 2nd is a great day, that I would turn on my search engine and they would have a nice little creative thing about one of my favorite persons. And you know, someone needs to call this search engine company and ask, why are they not celebrating Dr. Seuss's birthday?
I actually went to school. Well, we were in two different schools. She went to Stevens College, and I was going to journalism school in Columbia, Missouri at Mizzou. But I went to school with one of Dr. Seuss's stepdaughters.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying anything more.
Amazing.
Went to visit her at a place of business in San Francisco. few years ago, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I liked Dr. Seuss, but Dr. Seuss's drawings were organically strange and disturbing to me as a child. I don't know why.
I can see that, how it would be.
Yeah.
I like that, organically strange and disturbing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way I know how to describe it. But to this day, I still have Dr. Seuss books.
See?
Yeah, so, you know. And Go Dog Go was my younger siblings and younger cousins' favorite book. They loved the Go Dog Go.
Go Dog Go.
And it did have a sense of velocity and going places, you know, and just traversing the globe. It was something really just, I don't know, exciting about Go Dog Go. The phrase even itself, you know, it's something that I guess in this day and age, if there had been some analog to Dr. Seuss and his Go Dog Go, it would probably be a meme right now.
Yeah.
It would.
That would be
a powerful meme,
powerful
I'm sure.
Meme, yeah. So Dr. Seuss, happy 116th. And, you know, if you have a favorite Dr. Seuss tale or quote or book, go there and read it.
go there.
Go there, go. Exactly.
So, you know, I know I sent you something. Oh. For us to look at, and there's a part of me that wants to address it, and there's a part of me that doesn't. So what I guess I'll do is I'll say what you got on your plate.
Well, you know, in addition to Dr. Seuss' birthday,
all right, which great choice, by the way,
great choice. Well, yeah. It's Women's History Month.
I like that too.
And, and 100 years ago, the national suffrage for women was passed. So in November 1920 was the first national election that women could vote. So 100 years from now, I mean, from then, it's now.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Dr. Seuss. So I'm just wondering, there are still a couple of women, I think, still running for president in the Democratic field. And, you know, 100 years, where are we in terms of electoral politics? And we can talk about, you know, Oregon passed women's suffrage in 1912, after they failed to pass it in 1884, 1900, 1906, 1910. Washington defeated it by one single vote in 1854, and women's suffrage wasn't passed until 1910.
1854, that was a few years before Oregon came in.
Mm-hmm. So it was Washington was still, a territory, I think, then. So just reminds me, at least in terms of the struggle, just goes on. You have to be really dedicated, because you just don't wake up and say, okay, this is the right thing to do, and everyone agrees with you.
Well, you know, although a lot of support and some of the reasons were founded, the ERA never got ratified.
No. So,
you know, that says a lot for,
Virginia
progress.
Virginia did just pass, approve ERA. And so there's that whole debate.
In what form?
No.
In its original form.
Mm-hmm. So there's this current debate, since now 38 states have passed it. Some have rescinded it, whether or not ERA could be incorporated in the U.S. Constitution. And this is going to have a long legal battle in and of itself. So,
yeah, yes, indeed.
ERA, we're still waiting for you.
Well, so, yeah. I think it would be a good time to talk about gender equity, you know, more female voices in, and not just the legislature, but in our positions of leadership. In some ways, maybe that's a more encouraging topic, or less discouraging topic, or less gloomy topic, you know, than I was looking at, which is how are people dealing with fears and concerns of the coronavirus at work and in their personal life. And I think the main reason why I wanted to talk about it was that people want to talk about it. You know, you hear every article you read, it says the same few facts over and over again, and there are those who are starting to say, give you differing voices, which say it's not as frightening when you think about it in comparison to things such as the ordinary flu. And I'm sure that has some people confused, and I'm not going to claim to be a clearinghouse for that. I'm not.
Well, you know,
I'm not.
I did happen to see the president's first speech a couple of days ago, and talking about
how the Democrats are inflating and conflating to deflate
his
presidency.
And we should be encouraged that the president, you know, has passed over those in his administration who might give guidance in terms of national policy, and has chosen the vice president, who did such a wonderful job when he was governor of Indiana
mm-hmm.
with his approach to
mm-hmm.
HIV. So why not?
Yeah. And I could see how that could create fear and concern in many people, because maybe they are concerned that they're not getting all the information that they need about how to protect themselves. And then when you hear information coming from other organizations like the World Health Organization declaring that this is an epidemic and a world health concern, you're not sure what to do. And so the ordinary person is left to try to sift through all of this competing information, and then all of these competing tips about how to protect yourself, as well as run out and clear the shelves of anything you think will disinfect.
Yes.
And I'm surprised that people haven't actually decided to stock up on matches and, you know, figure, I'll just burn everything. Everything will be clean then. You can burn it. It's like, no, that doesn't work, people. I'm going to say that one categorically. I'm going to say that categorically.
So you just gave some people an idea.
No, I hope not. I mean, if you want to do anything, you can boil some things. But, I mean, you know, first we're talking about viruses, which are incredibly strong, and then second, we don't even know how everything's being transmitted yet. So I'm not giving any other advice except this.
Okay.
Very good hygiene. Wash your hands. Carry a little package or a little pile or water, however you want to do it, of tissues, so that you can, you know, wipe your nose and cough into and all that, and then wash your hands. But here's the thing. Be careful about how you respond to all this information. I know we don't have a lot of time, but talk to your healthcare team, and if you don't have one, you know, you can always call hotlines and ask. And try not to succumb to the really silly things that people are doing, such as not drinking Corona beer. I mean, I'm not advocating drinking beer. I'm not advocating not drinking beer. I'm just saying the hysteria that has surrounded that one product because of its name.
Well, do you remember many years ago, there was, I think it was a diet pill that was called AIDS.
Oh, yes.
And when HIV first hit national consciousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. AIDS fell out of favor.
If you had stock in that company, So.
Oh gosh! But I want. I'm curious as to how people are handling in their everyday lives, and that they want to just kind of get it off the chest, so to speak, just to talk about it. And like I said, I'm not going to pretend that, and I'm not going to take responsibility for being a clearinghouse for extra informed information. You know, I worked as a nurse years ago. You know, some people say once one, always one. Yeah. I can tell you this. There are a lot of things I'm not doing to take care of my certification if I wanted to still be a nurse. So I'm not doing that, so I'm not practicing. But I will tell you, you know, there's some basic health rules that they tell you all the time during the flu season that you should be doing, you know. But this is more about how is it affecting your life? How are you trying to maintain sanity? You know, what's going on in your work environment? How basically are you adjusting to this new reality?
But you know, and I think we all are trying to manage it differently and not quite knowing what's the right information. So whether it's your children in school, I know, for example, you know, I work in a church. So prior to that, we had to say, well, what are we going to do with the passing of the peace?
Yes.
When we celebrate communion, do you use a common cup as has been normal to practice, or do you use the little,
plastic cups like we have?
Shot glasses. holy shot glasses. But
actually, there was an article in the news about that, too.
Yeah. So there's a way. And, you know, especially when you, for example, the passing of the peace, when you just want to, you know, grab someone and celebrate and hug them and kiss them. And it's a lot different when you're doing fist bumps or
elbow bumps.
Yeah, elbow bumps. It's just, yeah.
You know what? Well, you know, and that's what I'm talking about, this new reality, because I'm looking at the bus on my way here, and I'm behind the bus, and I'm watching people amass to catch the bus as I'm at this stoplight, and here it said on the news, health officials said don't take mass transit, and I think, what about the poor people who don't have any other options, or what about just the people who are now going to be disadvantaged? You know, not necessarily economically because they're getting on the bus, but mentally and emotionally. All of a sudden, you're told, you know, it's not a good idea to get on that there bus that you're getting on to go work in that crowded place that you're going to go work at. And now, how does that set you up for success?
Yeah. So what do you do in terms of transportation, not only in terms of mass transportation, but suppose you, do you get on airlines? Do you ride buses? Do you get on trains?
Do you get in an elevator?
And
do you get in an escalator?
Well, you get on the elevator, and do you press the button, and then do you wash your hands? And oh god,
because you don't have any hand sanitizer.
So,
by all means, do you sample the stuff at the food court? I mean, there's so many things, and I try to mention some lighthearted ones along with the serious ones so that we don't get bogged down. You know, you don't want to get bogged down in doom and gloom. You want to try to be solution oriented in us.
So that's why I think it's helpful, and thank you for reminding us again and again in terms of searching for accurate information and you know, talk to your health professional and accurate health sources for information, because you know, it's as much as we like and enjoy one another, we have a habit of not always sharing accurate information.
Yeah.
Our number is here, 503-231-8187, and Corey from out of town is calling.
Yes. good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'll be brief. Yeah, I was kind of surprised how bipartisan it became over the weekend. The Secretary of State wouldn't even say if it was a hoax or not, even though you have two people currently in Washington State that have died. But and like I said, I'll be brief. My mother, my wife, my sister, they all work in healthcare, so I should be good to go, hopefully. But what they were telling me is my best friend works at the VA, and I'm a veteran myself, and she works at the VA, and my best friend was working with this patient, and trying to make sure that, you know, the older patients, this older Vietnam vet are okay and stuff like that. And yeah, he told her, he's like, I don't really care about this coronavirus as long as you don't give me any of that Obamacare. And she told me this, and I'm thinking to myself, so you're in the VA. You're in basically a socialized system.
Yeah.
Yet you're literally dying. Mm-hmm. And your main focus is that you don't want any of that Obamacare.
Wow.
And that just tells me we're all doomed.
And that's why I'm talking about us being confused. I think, you know, one of the upshots of all of this is just the way it kind of conflates, you know, panic and ignorance with propaganda. It's like, and I'm not saying the news is propaganda, but when you have somebody like our esteemed leader saying it's a hoax, you know, what is that? What that sets people up for such a fall?
And people willing to die, you know, like, I'd rather die and listen to this esteemed leader than get help that's referred to the affordable, that's referred to as Obama, because I hate that black man so much.
Mm-hmm.
I hate him so much. I'd rather, no, let me die, because I don't want any of that Obamacare. First of all, you're at the VA.
It's socialized medicine.
Yeah.
Right, go ahead. Yeah.
But just don't, like, there are certain Obama shots, or right, they're like Obama pills.
Pills, right.
Don't give me that there Obama pill.
And she just kind of shook her head and was like, well, you know, you're at the VA, you know, that kind of throws me off sometimes. I'm just like, you know, that level of ignorance and hatred. And I'm not going to badmouth them. I'm a veteran. I know you're a veteran. I'm not going to. But it's just like, wow, we're there where you just, you whatever Trump says, it's a hoax. I don't care about it. I'd rather die. Just don't give me them Obama pills. Let's do this.
Woo-wee.
I love Woo-wee. Calling you guys. I'll leave you guys alone. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Corey. You know, and that's one reason why I feel like we ought to talk about it. It's kind of like a community service in a way. It's just to talk about it. If nothing else, come up with a strategy to tell our loved ones, okay, look, this is not a good idea. What you just told me when you said you don't want no Obamacare is not helping you. What you mean to say is, I want to live.
Yes.
What's healthy for me? How can we all be healthy together? Do you need something from me to help you be healthy? that's what you want to say.
And I think for many of us who have not been, who have felt we have not been directly impacted by the president and his habit of not speaking the truth all the times in terms of how it impacts on our lives, this, which is, you know, and possible epidemic impact all of us many ways. And so for the president to get up with the voice he has and share misinformation that could affect many people negatively immediately is dangerous. It's one thing to poo-poo the president when he makes some strange facts about something that we don't think it impacts us. But, national health policy is something very serious. And I think the president should just stay on script and just read his, you know, the monitor and don't try to speak off cuff. You know, it's too serious.
Well, I'm scared about what's on his monitor. You know, I shouldn't say scared, but concerned. He's not particularly articulate or eloquent, so it makes sometimes listening to him difficult. But also, he uses the kind of language which is not necessarily meant to persuade. It kind of does a combination of bullying and belittling and just kind of blaring out simplistic statements. And so I want to encourage people to check into other sources of information, you know. And again, one of the best ways to get information is to call a health hotline. It's much better than listening to what your friend's nephew's cousin said who works for the food service at the hospital, because sometimes that's how we do it.
Well, Jerome knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, but Mama, Jerome washes dishes in the kitchen of the hospital. Jerome is not a nurse or a doctor, not even a health aid, Mama. No. Don't you talk about my Jerome.
Okay.
So, 503.
Yes.
231-8187. Okay. So, yeah, I know it's Monday. It's March 2nd, and you don't feel like getting out of bed, let alone, and going to work, let alone talking on the telephone. But you can.
Well, you know, the two other things that we mentioned, you know, Women's History Month and Dr. Seuss. And around Dr. Seuss, I'm interested in if people are parents, or currently are parents of smaller children, mm-hmm. How do they encourage their children to read? I mean, is it a habit? I remember when I was very young, it was sort of like, it was such an honor when my dad took me to the library and I got my library card, and that's where, you know, I first became aware of Dr. Seuss and stuff like that. I was speaking yesterday to a person who had been a school librarian. I said, I remember those days when, you know, public school had school librarians.
Mm-hmm.
And
remember those days.
It was such an important part. I'm interested in terms of how parents encourage children to read these days, or is that something? So if you're a parent, share some information, or if you want to share maybe a favorite book from when you were a child, or maybe even a favorite Dr. Seuss book. Or also Women History Month, are there certain women that you want to talk about, to lift up and remember? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and let's go to our next caller, Pluto. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Excellent. I love tuning into the show. I appreciate you guys being on there.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to touch briefly on kind of the pandemonium of the looming pandemic, if you want to use that word,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of perspectives, I think, that are emerging, you know, as the news kind of plays around with everything. And the way that I personally see it, and maybe this could, help other people kind of figure out ways to cope with it, is that, you know, like, because I have health insurance through my school, and so mm-hmm. I feel covered, you know, on top of the fact that I'm young and my, you know, immune system is good and stuff like that. But I think right now the conversation that is not really being had that needs to be had is, you know, we need to be thinking about, well, how are we going to mediate the impact of this among houseless communities?
Yes.
Because that's something that, you know, they're on the front lines of this. And I really, you know, worry about that. So,
yes.
You know, just wanted to open up that conversation with you guys.
Well, you know, to what end do you want to open it? You want us to kind of encourage people to be supportive of organizations that help the homeless? Because a lot of us are not equipped to go out and do face-to-face service.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and that's part of it too. You know, really just to put it on the radar,
yes.
of people's minds. You know, think about that and staying hygienic. You know, not only for your own regard, but for those people as well.
Most vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, anyway, I love the program. Thank you guys so much.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your call, Pluto. Appreciate it.
All right.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio with Celeste. I'm Cecil, and we'll go to Kathy right now.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Kathy?
Nice. Thank you. Thanks for Celeste and Cecil. I really appreciate it. I wanted to just respond to your question about how people are handling the coronavirus. And I thought good humor was the first thing that came to my mind. Find things to laugh about.
Oh, and, I thought you meant ice cream. But.
Well, that too.
That worked. That's what you got to do. And then the second thing was strengthening mental and emotional health and making sure that I get to my counselor, you know, paying attention to my internal world to see what triggers are popping and so I can stay calm in the midst of it and be a better partner and friend and family person or citizen. And then the next thing is just to keep perspective, because from what I heard, now you folks are in the news, you're more professional about this, but from what I heard is, you know, there's percentages. So mild symptoms, 80%, severe, 20%, and death is from a percentage out of, you know, the 20%, a smaller percentage. And I thought, well, okay, my father died of polio and my mother was crippled by it. So, you know, I had to keep perspective on the whole thing, you know, because it can be scary.
So I really appreciate
Go ahead.
No, I said I appreciate what you said, and also in terms of speaking with your therapist in terms of how we're dealing with this mentally. You know, something I heard this morning on a public radio station was talking about how stress, you know, we begin to worry and we stress, we don't get enough rest. Physically, we our health goes down because of that. And so we need to balance those things and make sure we eat well, that we get enough sleep and stress, deal with those things that can impact us just generally. So thank you so much, Kathy, for raising these important points.
Aw, well, thank you so much for your love, both of you. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to have a thank fest here. All right. And bye-bye. And you can join in the conversation, too. It's 503-231-8187 here on KBOO, Your Community Connection, 90.7 in the Portland metropolitan area, and 91.9 if you're in Points East in Hood River, 104.3 in Philomath. And in addition to, you know, the fact that we do need more rest, even though everything is pushing us to get less rest, drink a lot of water, because just as it is with the flu that we hear about annually, it's hitting those with compromised immune systems, who are elderly, who may have other coexisting conditions, you know, such as diabetes or other issues, and the very young. So treat it not fearfully, but like you would if the flu was going around and everybody was getting sick around you. You know, you would still wash your hands and try to get rest and try to eat healthy and, you know, cut down on things that you know you should cut down on, and, you know, and there it is. But good humor helps. You know what? I would say, I can make this suggestion here. Here's a health suggestion. Every time you feel overly stressed and you like, you're going to have a panic attack or you didn't get enough sleep or something like that, go drink a good 8 ounces of nice water. I know it doesn't sound like much, but the better hydrated your body is, the better you can perform.
Right.
And most Americans are dehydrated.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
We will speak with Carlos right now. Good morning. Thank you for waiting. Good morning, Carlos.
Okay. Just missed you, Carlos. I'm sorry. Let's go to, is that Edie?
Yes, thank you.
Good morning. How are you doing, Edie?
I'm going to answer your question about how we encourage reading, and I think also when it comes to physical health and social justice. It's coming from research, decades of research, three generations of families' experience. and my training as an educator. What you do if you want to encourage people to read is you evaluate yourself.
Yeah.
You read yourself. You have the children see that every day you are reading for information, you're reading for entertainment, you're reading for connection with other people, and you're reading for spiritual growth or moral, you know, unfoldment. Every day, you sow the joys of that. You sow the constructive, pragmatic solutions. You have the children engaged in the reading. It might be just looking at the capital letter that begins their first name and finding it in different places. You assign them tasks that celebrate their agency, their ability. My mother was born with birth problems, and when I was an adult, I was later told that she had learning disabilities and as well as vision problems. So she was trying to, she kind of knew how to read, but it was a very struggle and hard for her. And they were convinced that I was severely mentally retarded and didn't know that I would ever, you know, ever be able to function much. So she read aloud to me, and it was a struggle, close time where not only were we experiencing reading every day, but it was a safe space where she wasn't being abused and I wasn't abused during that certain time. So it had a whole lot more wealth and meaning. In my children, I focused on what were their primary love languages, and I incorporated their love languages in the reading.
Okay, so wait, hold on for a minute, Edie. Explain what love languages mean, because I'm sure there's folks out there who don't.
Right. So for my middle child, her primary love language was physical touch. So we would snuggle and cuddle every night before bed and every morning for our sermon on the couch. For my my older child, he liked to have attention and, you know, words of affirmation. So I would be affirming his ability to understand, to imagine, to empathize, all these things that as a feminist I also wanted my son to do, and to analyze and to project, you know, what's going to happen with the plot. What do you think the author is intending? For my middle and my younger child, their love languages were also gifts, and so we would make gifts or give gifts or little things. For me, my primary love language is deep, profound, intimate connection through conversation, and so that would be our time in which, with the children without autism, where that was possible, we would be doing that. That resulted in my children every night, even to some degree when they were in high school, being valedictorian or, you know, all the sports and everything else in their life, we would snuggle together before bed for 1 to 2 hours, reading aloud and discussing the books. And the books we read were rich in character and good values, across the perspective, teaching us. I'd be learning new things myself, and so the author that I want you to really pay attention to that was profound in promoting my Christian anarchist values to my family and my peace justice ones is Kate Sherrity. Kate Sherrity is spelled S-E-R-E-D-Y. She was a Hungarian author. She won Newbery Award, Newbery Honor Award, Caldecott Award, oh gosh, so many different awards. So she had books, usually had a title having to do with the tree. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. The Chestnut Oak was my favorite. And you have exquisitely gorgeous illustrations that she would draw. Each of these books was using Hungarian immigrant or whatever, stories, teaching the importance of compassion, of not getting into that divisive us versus them enemy. It was always about peace. It usually had to do about the horrors of war, like World War I, World War II. And she would bring up facts. she'd bring in story, she'd idealize that, and she'd bring up actual cases where there'd be people of some enemy nations being kind to each other, and through that, they would survive the pandemics that always happen in war, not just because of stress, because of disease, because of, you know, your sanitation, because of people being close together. And the way they got through those diseases or were free of them were because love trumps fear, and fear is necessary for disease, and love is necessary for your body's immune system to work. But anyway, but I really recommend the process of you taking time to read and to learn new things and to try different. I didn't use horror, you know, stories for my children. There are certain, I don't use pornography. There are certain genres I don't use, but for myself or them. But that has resulted, for example, my youngest child going to a college visitation, and she was assigned a professor because he was of the area that she wanted to study. She walks in his office and she says, "Oh my!" And she mentions three authors, and she's so excited and sees a magazine on this thing that we read. And she's listening to KABU. And so she brought up authors, writers, ideas that you, like, for example, get from KABU and from our subscriptions at home, and had a delightful conversation because she was used to talking with adults about ideas and going beyond the intellectual to the heart and soul and our social responsibility with those ideas.
Well, great.
And
great.
They were delighted.
Well, I got to let you go, Edie, because we got Carlos back and waiting. And so I thank you, because I think you nailed it when you said not only reading, but getting that deep emotional connection. And that's part of the healing that we can use to kind of overcome this stress the news is telling us about the epidemic. But thank you so much for your call.
And question the taken for granted beliefs. Look between the lines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, where we do try to question assumptions, look beyond carefully protected beliefs, and find the truth that should be nurtured and carefully protected. Again, if you want to get really accurate, up-to-date information, you do want to check in with the Center for Disease Control and the World Health, why can't I speak today? World Health Organization. There we go. The CDC and the WHO. I know why I can't. I keep forgetting that I'm dyslexic, and sometimes my words are what come out. I'm really good with spoonerisms. They just fall out of me, like nothing. But anyway, 503-231-8187. I had to make sure I had that right once I said it. And join in the conversation. It's 840. And we want to encourage you to give us a call and also continue listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and myself, Celeste. And we're going to Carlos. Good morning. Thanks for calling back.
Hi, good morning, Cecil and Celeste. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
And do you hear me well?
Yes.
Well, yes.
All right. I'm on a speakerphone. If it gets too bad, I can switch to the regular phone.
Okay.
And that was the problem the last time I was switching and saying hello at the same time, and that's why you missed me.
Oh.
Okay, but anyway, thank you so much for your presentation this morning. And what I would like to share, I've been studying this disease, the coronavirus. When the news started trickling out of Wuhan, China, back at the end of December, beginning of January, I was watching it very carefully on international news, and it was very frightening to me. When I first started reading some of the reports, because of the fact that we had a SARS outbreak in 2003, and that came from China, and there was a lot of propaganda and covering up on the part of the Chinese government. I think what I'm observing is that there is a lot of misinformation and assumptions that people are having about this particular virus. One of the things that I've heard from people, when talk about the virus, is they say, well, you know, does the flu kill every year? And then the assumption with that goes that there is a higher percentage of death with influenza as compared with the Wuhan coronavirus. The president of the United States made the exact same claim on Wednesday, and he was confronted by Dr. Sanjay Gupta at the time, and Dr. Sanjay Gupta pointed out that the people who die from influenza, when you look at the statistics, is about 0.1%. And currently, it appears that the coronavirus has a kill ratio of in excess of 2%. The statistics I'm running, of course, are much higher because they're actually based on the amount of people who've actually recovered as opposed to the amount of people who've died from the disease, not the people who are still in recovery. And if you look at those numbers, they're going at about 11%. But assuming even 2% at the low end, that would mean that this disease has 20 times more potential to kill somebody than does the influenza flus that are going around. In addition to that, we're seeing situations like in Egypt where the government has, you know, the government of Egypt claimed that they only had one case of the coronavirus, and that case was resolved, and they don't have any more cases coming out of Egypt. Yet, just recently, five people traveled to Egypt and went back to France, and when they went back to France, each and every one of them had the coronavirus.
Well, you know, it's not clear whether they had it before they left or not, so we don't want to speak as if that was a causal relationship.
What I'm hearing in the news, obviously they didn't have it when they were in France, or at least
they don't think. Okay.
Right, but it appears that.
Okay, let's just leave it at that. You know, we don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there that we're not being told.
And, now that's true.
And when it comes to authoritarian governments like China and Egypt, history
and the
shows
United
that
States.
They don't tell us the truth, that they cover stuff up.
Yeah, it's and not like it's we just, don't hear, huh?
Right, and again, it's unfortunate. There's just so much misinformation out there, and of course, I live in Washington State, so our governor has declared a state of emergency. We've had two deaths this weekend.
Yeah, but you know, they're not saying that. You know, some of the information behind the way this is said is—it's not pointing out the age of the people who passed. It's not saying whether they were sick prior to, you know, or if there were any contributing factors. And I know that one of the people who passed was in their 70s. So, you know, what I want to say again is go back to sources like the CDC, you know, the World Health Organization, and read what precautions they are giving you to protect yourself and how you should be concerned, because an overdose of statistical information, you know, and death per capita and death per thousands or whatever is not helpful. What the ordinary person wants to know is, how long do I need to wash my hands? I don't have any hand sanitizer. What should I do? That person over there is coughing. Should I be concerned? Can I go out and eat food at Asian restaurants? Yes, you can, by the way. You know, it's we need people to hear that this still has a dangerous effect on our lives, but it's something that right now we can do to, you know, we can do to put our mind to ease is the ordinary health hygiene care. We don't know how it's transmitted, you know? We don't know anything about it except that people are killing it. It's, and you're right, the government's not telling us. But don't, again, dig for your own information. Carlos?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
One final thing. They looked at, you're probably aware of this, they looked at the DNA of a very recent person who contracted the virus here in Washington State and compared it with the first individual in Washington State who contracted COVID-19. And based on the evidence, it appears that we've had community spread going on here in Washington State for about 6 weeks.
Okay, and what's your source of information?
That comes right out of the news.
What aspect of the news? Okay, is it coming out of the health department in Washington, out of a newspaper? Did you hear it on a TV or radio news report?
No, it's coming out of the health department.
Okay. Right now, the fact that we don't know how long it's been incubating and transmitting is only going to get people more concerned. And it's good information, but it doesn't have a good context. And so I thank you for that. But I want to tell people, go back and do some checking. When in doubt, call your state health department and get some information if you can. If you can't, then make sure you check the hotline at your nearest health facility. But thank you so much, Carlos. We're almost out of time, and I still got, looks like, a couple of more callers there.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO.FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And Francis, are you there?
Okay. Well, you know, I want to say this. I don't want to dismiss out of hand or even give the appearance that's what I'm doing with what Carlos is saying. And that's one of the concerns, is that we're having so much information at various levels of panic thrown to us, an urgency thrown at us, that, you know, we're trying to sift through a lot of information. And depending on what your area of learning or expertise is, you know, you may understand or not understand this stuff easily. And so, you know, you're trying to figure out, well, you know, I want to be a responsible person. I want to take good care of myself and my loved ones. What do I need to do? And, you know, I'll go back to basic health again. You know, this is also coming up into spring. A spring cleaning is a good thing, mm-hmm. You know. You may not be able to get all of the components that you've heard in the news, you know, like hand sanitizer or wipes or what have you, but you could take some household bleach and a good cleaner, you know, like a few drops of dish detergent or something like whatever that doctor's name, who I'm not going to say on the air, soap, you know, uh-huh. Something that's healthy for your body. And, you know, wipe down everything that you use in your house a lot, you know, including things like the faucets in your bathroom, the toilet handle, you know, the brush on the toilet, handle on the toilet brush, got it, doorknobs, all of that, light switches, you know, like I said, get yourself a little baggie if you don't want to buy a package of tissues and put it in your pocket or your bag, put some tissues in there, carry those with you, toss them when you run out, get some more, whatever, but, you know, use basics, hygiene, you wash your hands. Stop touching your face so much. We do that out of nervousness, though.
Yeah, but
and people are stressing us out, so I'm going to wipe my face a whole lot more.
You know, I heard a report this morning, you know, about some study, or read a report,
mm-hmm.
about the touching of the face and mm-hmm. how we do it, how often.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We do it when we're surprised, when we're mad, when we're stressed.
And we don't even realize we're doing, and mm-hmm. and we're the only animals who touch our face that way. Other animals touch their face like to get a bug off their face.
Well, simians touch their face when they're thinking. They scratch their heads.
Okay, well, maybe
the great apes, you know, all of them.
But, you know, it's, I've been trying to be more conscious of that and say, ooh, no. So. don't touch yourself. So there's a lot of information we need to know, but also I think something you shared that we should be reminded is not to get caught up in fear mongering or things like that. That certainly we need to be safe. We need to know, you know, what we do and be careful. But still, we need to live and live joyfully and not in a state of panic.
Most definitely. I thought, okay, because this is Dr. Seuss's birthday,
yes,
that we should have a Dr. Seuss quote.
Excellent.
Okay, we have a few minutes here. I think we got about 3 minutes. So if you're going to call and you haven't called, you better call now.
Now, especially if you want to quote Dr. Seuss, but you have one for us?
Well, you know, I was trying to figure out which one, and I thought about something I said earlier when I was talking about how people are spazzing out and trying to determine what to do with their life. Shall I stockpile on toilet paper and hand wipes, or should I not? This one cracked me up. Should I not pop the bubbles in bubble wrap because that air is from China? Oh. It's like, really? Somebody said that to you and you believed it and it made it this big that I actually read it in an article?
Wow.
Okay, let's have some seriousness right here. Okay, here's a quote from Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
And this kind of falls into what I think it was Edie was saying earlier. The more you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you will go. That's both metaphorically and literally, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then a person's a person, no matter how small. So, you know, later with this, trying to blame this disease on any one population,
you know,
later for that, don't do that.
Today, you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you.
Hey, hey. Oh, I got one. Here's one. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. So what does that mean? Well, I believe Gandhi said it. Be the change you want to see.
Uh-huh.
Be the change for you and me. Oh, that wasn't Dr. Seuss. That was me. And, you know, and the whole thing is information. Kindness, empathy, good hygiene, and being thrifty with your time and your resources, but not your love, is what's going to get us through all of this. You know, too much of the world tries to separate us and keep us from each other and at each other's throat. Don't be like that. Oh, we got one person who wants to try. We got like 1.5 minutes. Let's go ahead and take the call. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Hey.
So this is a short one.
Okay.
And it's The Lorax. Uh-huh. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's it. So, you know, it's up to every one of us to do something to make it better.
Yes, and I love that one.
All righty. Well, thank you for your call, Victoria.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That. Bye-bye. Let's roll on out because, you know, our time is up, but there's even a Dr. Seuss quote for that.
Okay, yes.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Okay. All right.
Happy birthday, Dr. Seuss.
Yay. And have a wonderful day, everyone. I know it might be gloomy outside, but inside is what counts. Take your sunshine inside, outside. Let your light shine.
Mimi Goodman. Tune in on March 3rd for Democracy Now!'s live Super Tuesday special. We're teaming up with The Intercept to bring you real-time results as 14 states head to the polls for presidential primary elections. Tune in for our War, Peace, and the Presidency special.
Tune into KABU at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, March 3rd to hear Democracy Now!'s special live coverage of Super Tuesday results. That's Tuesday, March 3rd at 4 p.m. on KABU 90.7, your community radio station.
Come join in the conversation with ML Laurie on our new podcast, What the Hell is Going On? A conversation about our human experience, our human condition, and the obstacles that we all have to happiness. This podcast is an extension of the segment Let's Stop for a Minute that ML produced for the KABU radio show, The Politics of Living. So go to kabu.fm/whatthehellisgoingon, or you can go to www.kabu.fm, audio, podcasts, and What the Hell is Going On.
I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is listener-supported community radio, and it's time now for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I am Denise Morris, your host for this March 2nd Monday. Patricia Kohlberg is our engineer. This morning on the Old Mole, Bill Resnick.